Welcome to VFN Radio. My goodness, morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. You're listening to VFN Radio, here to encourage you, hopefully to enlighten you, to inspire you. The God of the Bible is the God today, and the great commandment is not the great suggestion, but the Lord says, I will go with you if you go into all the world and preach that I love them. I have a plan for their life, that I'll restore them, that I'll forgive them. Listen, God's news behind the news is not enough to know the news, but you need to know what to do with the news you know. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is the producer of VFN Radio program and VFN TV is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And the man behind the scenes, a grammar man, the man who makes sure the whole world can repeat and hear and listen and all those wonderful things, and the co-host of VFN Radio program is the one, the only hairless man on VFN Radio program, which you can see our picture now, by the way, at VFNTV.com. John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello.
And you happen to hear a fourth voice hovering around our conversation. Yes, that is the data man behind the scenes, Chris, son of thunder. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're going to be talking to you today about intercession. Hopefully, we'll get to it today. We tried to get to it yesterday, but God had other things in mind. Listen, if you're an intercessor, if you feel like you're called to intercession, if you are a minister, feel like you're about to die, and you're looking for an intercessor, listen to this first. Please, listen to this first. We need you, man. We need you, ma'am. Intercession today on VFN Radio with so much work. We're talking about the Boy Scouts America and how do we respond to what's going on. Joining me in this morning's first program, this morning, numero uno, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Hello. You're right. Have you found yourself? He's like your grandmother on the telephone. Hello? Are you there? Turn my hearing aid up. Can you turn my hearing aid up? Hello? Grandma, we're here. John, we're here. Right? We are.
I'm here.
He's like, hello? Hello? I was watching the best program on TV is America's Funniest Videos. That's pretty much almost 80% safe.
Yeah.
Because I don't like watching people get hurt. So I was like, listen, you got to hear this. I was in Franklin, North Carolina, on top of my mountain that I was telling you about before, that when the leaves crunching.
Oh, that mountain.
My blanket turned into Superman's cape. Yeah, and I poosh, locked down that French door like it was going to help me. And you know, the woodsman probably already had a key to this cabin already. Hmm. But, well, that was interesting.
Wow, that was good.
That was great. Oh, my goodness. It was a wonderful. Wasn't that wonderful?
Wow.
That was just totally wonderful.
Wow. I was speechless.
Wow. Oh, getting on to the top of the program.
Well, guess who I heard from today and wanted to give you a shout out?
Who's that?
Our friend
Jason Tarazas. Yeah, oh man. Yes. I saw that. Isn't that cool?
Very cool.
That's a special treat to us, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, special treat. I told him, I said, man, we're going to give you a shout-out today.
Jason.
Hear from you.
Oh, my goodness, man. Let's go sell some hot dogs. Remember him in the hat and the walking up and down the line? He was so kind and so nice and so polite. Yes. And it was just, oh my goodness.
So many wonderful memories.
Yeah, just amazing. Mm-hmm. Precious, precious memories. Well, hola, Tarazas. Well, I'll tell you what. I had such a funny thing to share with you, but I cannot remember what it was. I mean, I was just moving along, and all of a sudden, the world disappeared. Yeah, I know I was in the mountains.
Something about North Carolina.
I was in North Carolina. Was I in North Carolina?
Yeah. You brave.
You locked the French door.
Well, that's what threw me off, because I had to, you know, talk about me running for my life. But guaranteed,
rabbit trail.
It felt like it was going to be very funny. It was going to be very, very funny. And we were going to enjoy it. So just act like you heard it, enjoy it, and let's just move on from here. Well, today we're going to be talking about, we always talk about it's not enough to know the news. I mean, there's so many news junkies that just like, I've got to watch the news. Why? I mean, you didn't do anything with the last 5 years you learned.
Right.
And it just creates all this prognosticating fear in your life. I mean, listen, just take a little bit of news, pray about it. And news meaning what's actually happening in the world, not somebody's perspective or somebody's been on it. And then pray about it. Pray about, you know, what to do with the news you know. I mean, why take in a whole bunch? Listen, if you keep on hearing all these things like, hey, the enemy's coming against you and they're going to destroy you and you're going to lose your job, and but you just keep taking it in, it's going to, the whole point of that is destroy you versus, you know, hearing what's going on. Okay, 23 million people without a job and the economy's crashing and all of, you know, America's idols are being judged. Okay, what do we need to do? And then all of a sudden, I'll pray about this. I'll spend time with God. And God's going to tell you what to do with the news you know. And that's our hope, you know, as we're sharing, you know, what God's laying on our heart to encourage you. And as he speaks to us, we try to share it with you. But when we share the news with you, we're really looking at a perspective of what to do with the news you know. We just don't want to tell you, the sky is falling, and then just run for your life and tell you nothing. I mean, it's just best not to know, you know. Right. We talked about with a predator drone yesterday. If you don't know what to do with the little red light shining on your forehead, just enjoy the last few moments of your existence. I mean, because to be absent from the body, even if a predator drone, you know, kicks you out of your body, realize that that's going to be like a Hail Mary kick. It's going to kick you all the way into heaven. You know, I mean, think how instant that is, you know. It's like, boom, totally instant. But we're going to talk about the Boy Scouts, you know, what's happening with the Boy Scouts, and, you know, what would Jesus do, and how did he respond to these type of things? And you see a lot of people jumping up on soapboxes, and they're talking about, you know, being very direct and critical and all these different things. And I think I have a perspective of that, and it's going to encourage you in how to respond to it. In addition, we're going to talk about today that, what if Jesus had a Facebook? What if Jesus had a Facebook? We're going to be talking to you in regards to, and hopefully we'll get to that because we want to give some time to that. Just begin to ponder that. I always said that if Jesus had a Facebook, he wouldn't have needed Judas because he would have said, "Hey, I'm in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, crying out for men's souls." And Judas is going, "Dude, you just cost me some money. I get into Facebook." They're not going to think. They just look at your Facebook and find out you're there. But another perspective of that. And we may have a continual, you know, what if David had a Facebook? You know, what would it be? And in the wilderness with dad's sheep, just tending the sheep, worshiping God today, praise God. Oh, dad asked me, the next post, oh, you know, dad asked me to go down to the guys on the front line, my brothers, I got some bread. Here's a snap, a little picture of the meal he's taking down there. He's going down there, da-da-da, probably singing all the way down there, you know, and he gets down there to his brothers, and he's like, "Here's your food," and all of a sudden, bam, they just jump on his case. It's like, post, man, my brothers are hating on me. I don't know what it is, what I've done, you know? And then all of a sudden, he takes a picture. "Check this out, dude, there's a giant. You see that giant?" You can see the post now, the big picture. They said his name's Goliath. He's huge, man. And a few minutes later, you hear an ex-post like, "He's coming against the armies of God. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine post?" Right? Right? And because all those cheerers who never come out from behind the rocks, that's right. Like, where are you? Right? And then he takes a picture. "Here's my slingshot thing. I'm going out there and take him down." Comments, don't. "Come by here and swing and pick up my stucco building to help you out. I'm coming to pick up my armor to help you out," and all that. And and all of a sudden he says, "Listen, I'm going after him. I'm running out today." "No, don't. Run after him. He runs out there. He takes his head off and snaps a shot. Got the head of the giant. I mean, imagine his whole life being posted like that. Mm-hmm. Of course, as things progress, "I don't feel like going to war today. I'm just tired." Mm-hmm. "You know, you guys have a good time out there." And go, "Oh my goodness, he didn't post this, but the security cameras got it. He was going to Bashir's house today, but YouTube is connected and somebody else has posted on his Facebook." "Great, I was such a hero early on, and now I am actually sneaking over to Bathsheba's house, you know, while her husband is Uriah's, yeah, you know, at war." And of course, if Facebook was around, he would not have been sleeping on David's porch. He probably would have been sleeping on his head. I don't know. And I mean, imagine this whole your whole life being posted. So, you know, we lived to different standards today. We lived to different standards. I just thank God it came out a little bit later in my life. Oh my gosh. My timeline's bad enough, but oh, if you, oh, never mind. You know, well, just what encourages me is the Sons of Thunder when I think about Second Street. When I think about Second Street, when I think about The Voice, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Oh, my goodness. You know, you just think, oh, wow. You know, hey. When I think about, you know, Steve Hill shivering in that bed coming off DTs from all those drugs. And the minister coming to his bedside, you know, and have the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
When I think about that, you know, all these, it's like, I mean, I think about the Lord and what he's done for me. You know what I'm saying? It's just awesome.
That's right, man.
Yeah, it makes me want to shout. Mm. Right?
Amen to that.
Man, praise God. Listen, there's hope. There's hope. If there's hope for me, there's hope for you. There is hope for you. And I hope to be able to be sharing. I would share my experiences, but I'm just going to share Pat's kind of general. And no, I don't need people sending in, posting anything. It's cool. Just relax. Move on. Let's move on. Let's move on. Speaking of that, I had a dream. No, I'm messing with you. And we're also going to be talking about today intercessors. Intercession, which is very, very important. The primary head of intercession is the same as the head of the church, Jesus. He is, what color is that, John? Right. Jesus is the head intercessor. He's the one that's making intercession for us. He's the one that's saying, let me explain Greg to you. And God goes, oh,
there's a lot of explaining going
on. Oh, I know it. That's what I'm saying. Let me, how do you say that? Explain.
Explain.
Explaining. Let me explain this. Like, oh, one decade. Oh, whoa. My goodness. He is a living sacrifice. Anyway, so. And I want to talk about that. It's very important. So if you are an intercessor, you want to catch it. It probably is going to come in the extra hour. And if you can't catch it live today, of course, we're 24-7, 24-7, 7 days a week. And you'll hear it some. You can hear it some time today. You can go right straight to highlights on your application. Go to your app store and go to VFN TV or type it in on your search engine. Or go to VFNTV.com. As a matter of fact, you can go to VFNTV.com right now and you can see what John looks like. He told us all to sit down, so we all kind of looked about the same height. We were on the island, right? We were on an island, an island, and decided to take some pictures and all that. And we put it up so you can actually see more than our jugs, more than our head. And we do have a body under the head, you know. And the fact that we just came off a 7-day fast, we need to retake those pictures quickly. Quickly, quickly, right?
Right,
quickly,
right?
Quickly, quickly. Oh, it's too late. Wait till next year. Wait till next year. Listen, I am storing up. I'm like Joseph, man. I'm storing up for that to come. Somebody said, man, drowned him. I tried. He just pops back up. I don't know what it is. He just keeps floating to the top. Well, praise the Lord. Here we are. Here we are on this day to be able to encourage you on VFN Radio. I think about, you know, what's happening in the world, and we're going to be talking in just a moment about the Boy Scouts and what the Lord laid on my heart and, you know, what's taking place in the world. But,
you know, one of the things that's happening, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, you know, we've been talking for some time now about what's going to be coming and facing what God's been sharing with us, you know, in this country and around the world. And we've been talking about different police, departments across the country, but just recently here, the sheriff from Wisconsin, the sheriff of Wisconsin, basically put out a radio ad to the city of.
I saw him.
Did you see that?
I heard it, and then I saw him respond, and that was so refreshing, wasn't it? Not?
Huh?
That was refreshing, wasn't it?
Oh my goodness!
Vanity.
He says, "Listen, 911 is no longer going to be your best option." So he releases this ad. It's a 30-second commercial, and basically he says, "Listen, I need you in the game. I need you in the game."
It was beautiful too. It sounded like a drill sergeant, right?
Oh,
but you know,
yeah.
You feel like you're serious. Feel like you're lieutenant and you're about to go take a hill.
Yeah, I mean, he was like very aggressive. He says, "I need you in the game with officers laid off and furloughed. Simply calling 911 and waiting is no longer your best option." Okay, he says, "You can beg for mercy from a violent criminal. Hide under the bed, or you can fight back. Consider taking a certified safety course in handling a firearm so you can defend yourself until we get there."
Yes.
I mean.
And he's talking about, you know, consider your constitution and the, yeah, and the founding fathers, the Second Amendment.
And he's being realistic. Listen, you know, I did a little research. You know, Milwaukee's a population of 600,000 people.
Wow.
It's over 500,000 people. It's the largest city in Wisconsin. It's the 28th most populated city in the United States. And he just lost 48 trained professional police officers.
Wow, 48? That kind 48. Of wisdom and experience lost in your city?
Lost in your city.
Well, they're probably spending money on trees or something.
Saving the whales or something, right? No whales in Wisconsin, maybe, but, you know, yeah. It's crazy.
Some oversized pension plan, you know, paying $500,000 a year. And one particular administrator's, that's what's going on in California.
Yeah.
Priorities.
Well, it's happening in Detroit with the unions. I mean, the Detroit, we did a segment on VFN Radio, and you can search the torch for it. But that's what happened with Detroit. They couldn't afford the police officers, and the Detroit police is putting out a flyer saying, enter Detroit at your own risk. Camden, New Jersey laid off their police officers and went from a city department to a county department. In a county in California did the very same thing that this sheriff is doing. And it's so important. I mean, he's charged with the responsibility of protecting his citizens and providing proper law enforcement protection. And when you can no longer do that, it's only appropriate to be able to share that with, you know, your residents. It's only appropriate. So he was on to say, you know, he goes on to say that local law enforcement, you know, we need partners. You are our partners.
And that's how it originally was. It wasn't. You had one sheriff in your town, and he would put posses together. He would call the men out in the community. Say, listen, we have a situation here. It looks like somebody keeps on coming and stealing the cattle of Mr. Smith down there,
right.
And so they would all get together and they would decide what they were going to do. One sheriff in the town, that was it. Maybe one or two deputies, you know.
Wasn't this like community policing?
That's America. America's designed like that. It's government by the people for the people. We actually allow or loan a particular position to a person for a period of time, constitutional power, to work for us, not over us. And with us.
Big difference, because a lot of that's being switched. And the perception is that you would think that the opposite is true, that they're we're working for them. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But it's not. It's not. And of course, you know, the sheriff has received some backlash and they've called him irresponsible. But I just say he's just being truthful. And thank God for someone who believes in the Second Amendment. And we just want to be you want to be prepared. This is what's happening across the face of the country. And you heard it first,
he's not promoting violence, and
no,
definitely,
not at all.
You know, we're not promoting violence. We're just promoting like protect your wife,
wisdom,
protect your 2-year-old child, you know, protect people, protect the little lady that's 80, 90, 94 years old in your neighborhood. And she's like a big raw roast to a shark in your neighborhood. And they would be prowling her and seeing how they could steal from her or hurt her or harm her, because she looks very vulnerable to the thief. And so you have a right. I know that it depends on your state laws. I don't know what they are, but you know, find out and follow your laws in your state. But you have a right to protect life. You know,
somebody,
that's what the deputy does. When a deputy or police officer comes out, they stand there with some sort of, obviously with authority, but also with something to back that up. And quite often, because of that, people don't break into your house. They don't do these different things. But it's going to, you know, and to confirm that they're walking out what God already told us some time back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That your sheriff in your state pretty much is the number two person for the constitutional power under your governor. You have your governor, and then you have your sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so the sheriffs can appeal directly to the governor. There's not any such, everybody else are lawmakers. These are executors. These are not executors, but the ones that execute the law.
Right.
And so that, you know, your congressman is not an executor of the law. He's a maker of the laws. Your senator's not an executor of the law. It's, you know, your school boards, all these different people.
Right.
So it's the governor and it's your sheriff, you know, and then in the context of that, the city gets a, if they are a city and incorporated and all that, then they have a a chief of police sometimes, but that's actually in the context of that county up under that governor. That's the authority, how it works right there. And it pretty much, you know, what I see is the days, and I saw pretty much, I will tell you more about this right after this break, but how we have to begin to think about working together. We'll be right back.
You know, there's over 25 million children living in fatherless homes in America. The father's absence and the degrading of the father's role is just all around us. You know why? Because the enemy wants to destroy our perception of what a father is. But I got news for you. The reason why the all-outright attack is on the natural father, because Father God loves you and has got a plan for your life, and he's trying to break down the, give you a life of no grid to be able to find what a father is. Let me tell you something. Father God loves you and has a plan for your life. As a matter of fact, he made a roadmap. He made a way to him, a bridge to him. He loves you so much, and he wants you so much in his family. He wants to be your father that he gave his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you can go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, where you can meet Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. We share a couple of our stories to kind of give you a grid that we're all the same. But you know what? God loves you and has a plan for your life. Find him. Meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And, that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. There was something that came up that God spoke to me, and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person. It's living and active. Oh, yeah.
Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly,
right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear,
right?
You know, because you know we don't all hear the same way, but God knows, you know, how to speak to us, and,
right?
And it's just awesome. It's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah, when you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. And the hovering voice is a son of thunder, Chris. You were listening to VFN Radio. We were just talking about the sheriff who, in Wisconsin, who stood up for the Constitution, and the whole world is actually thinking he's crazy. By the way, this is a sign that God is disciplining us. If you try to think about this whole thing logically, you know, as you're actually trying to set up your furniture in the belly of a whale, you'll be asking yourself as you're pulling seaweed from your head and you're wondering how I don't, I just, you know, I no, I don't want sushi.
No, sushi. No sushi.
I thought I had some last night, bro. That thing wasn't done. Anyway, so the, I had a moment, man. I was the best.
Sorry, Donna.
Oh no! It was, oh come on! It was not. It was.
I thought
it
was.
Wash me, Jesus. Wash me,
delicious.
Lord. I had this whole man. Jonathan, if you're listening today, man, I got that big old thing. I'm thinking, this is it, bro. This is it. But it's been a while. You know, we like fried things and all that. You know, fried day. But we're gonna eat healthy, and it was really healthy.
Slid right on down.
No, no, no. It just slid right
back beyond. Up.
No, it just didn't slide anywhere. But neither one of us. We've got to get back into how to brew again. So if you have any recipes for good recipes for the whole fillet of grouper. Grouper's so expensive now. Oh, my goodness. I felt, you know, back in my law enforcement days, I'm like, is this legal? Give me an ounce of that. Give me the ounce of the grouper. Looking over my shoulder. And their prices are always good where I was getting them at. And their service is awesome. You know, for those that are in the Gulf Coast and the Pensacola area, you know, Gerard Patty's place on 9 Mile Road is a wonderful place to be able to get your seafood needs met and the love of Jesus.
That's
right. Right on the front. Jesus is Lord, right? Nathan and Jonathan and Gerard and the whole crew there. And, but my goodness, here we are. You know, what is our perspective? Okay, we're hearing the news. Okay, we're hearing the news, but we need to know what to do with the news we know. If you just respond quickly, like Proverbs says, don't do. He says that then your neighbor might say something and just embarrass you. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that we're so quick to respond to something. And it's like, you know, first we have to, you know. And it's just like, and this is the whole thing, is that we just get blind to our own sin. We get blind to our own sin, and we're not blind to the sin that we are not committing. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so that's the only explanation I have for somebody that can, you know, be in the middle of something horrific, and it's just like, you're really going to talk about somebody like that? It's not going to be good. You know, you're not the judge, so it's not going to be good. Because it was just reported by CBN News that they're beginning to lift the ban on gay Boy Scouts to serve openly. CBN News is reporting on that. And we need to find out, how do we respond? Because this has happened in the military. You know, this has happened. You know, what do we do in response to the lifting of don't ask, don't tell? All these different things that are taking place. And this is a serious, you know, how do we respond to that? And the question is, you know, what would Jesus do? And how did he respond? And look at how Jesus responded to things. And Jesus didn't respond like the typical American Christian responds to things. And we'll talk about a little bit about that in just a moment. But we need to get a perspective on this, because God's going to really embarrass the church. Mm-hmm. You know, if the church doesn't drop their stones, as I'm going to end this with, you know, that the church is going to, God's going to embarrass the church. He says, but you think about this. Did Jesus try? What WWJD, right? It's what you're wearing on your whatever, right? You know, did Jesus try to change the Roman Constitution? He's like, I don't know, you know, what's up with this Caesar dude and this governor, but we need to put a whole political action committee together. We begin to change these things. We need a democracy around here. Mm. I mean, it was just like, what? You know, it's just, there was two different paradigms. You know, you had the God paradigm and then you had the lost paradigm. And I'm not saying it's wrong to do those things, but it's wrong to do those things with worldly wisdom and right. Not God's love. And you know, did he tell everyone what they were accepting as the laws of the land and what was practiced and that type of thing? Did he tell the legislators and all that they were wrong? I don't believe one time, although there was somebody that was a believer that's talked about, but he didn't go to change the political system. Or was he there friend and speak to each of them personally? I mean, he would stop and he would speak to them personally, dealing with their own individual sin, because, you know, sin is specific, mm-hmm. You know, and your sin specific to you and my sin specific to me, and I got to specifically deal with my own sin despite what anybody else does for theirs, and he let them know that he loved them and he would forgive them, and he did so over and over again, but he ended their encounter with him and his love and his compassion for them by saying, now that you see how good I am, now that you see how willing I am to change your destiny and to bring you into my family and to forgive you and to restore you, now leave your life of sin. Leave your life of sin. And today there's like, you haven't even given me an encounter with God, you know? You haven't even, I look at your life and I don't even think you're having an encounter with God. I see your laws and your religion and your buildings and your organizations. I see you, your political action committees. I see all these different things, but I don't see the love. I don't see
You know, I'm not I'm sure if I encountered this God of the Bible, not your God, but the God of the Bible, that I would be more than likely to go the same direction that you proclaim that you're going, which is the definition of repentance. You know, he would encounter them, and he was numbered amongst them. They called him friends with a sinner, friends with the one who was doing what God said ought not to be done. And he just hung out with them because he came for the sick. He came for me. He came for you. He came for us. And the ones that he rebuked openly were the religious folks, were the ones who were thinking that they were righteous in their own works, that their own, that was the ones. You whitewashed tombs, you snakes, you hypocrites. You know, you go across the sea to win a convert. You put more on them than they can bear, and you don't even lift a finger to help them. He said, you know, and you make them twice as much a son of hell as you are. Listen, just because you're religious don't mean you're right. Doesn't mean you're right. And here we are. You see, the church is attacking this ban that they're talking about, or lifting this ban inside the Boy Scouts, which is an organization. It's not the church. And right. They're lifting the ban in the military and serving openly in the lesbian lifestyle. But the church is criticizing that and coming against it while we are living in adulterous relationships. While we're living in open fornication, while we are rebelling against the ways of God, we're not even reading his commands. 81% of us are not even reading his Bible. While 50% of the men and 20% of the women that are in this crowd that are actually talking against us lift on lifting the ban on gays in the Boy Scouts are addicted to internet pornography. They're bowing down to idolatry, and they're looking, and Jesus said, listen, Matthew 6:22, dude, if you did it in your eye, you did it in your heart, and it's all the same. While at the same time, 65% of the women having abortions in America say that they were the church. How can we criticize the world? How can we tell them that they're wrong? How can we be in all that? Telling the world, their organizations, their political and their politicians not to to stop lifting put back don't ask, don't tell or something. And who are we to do that? You know, telling states, you know, gay marriage is wrong. While 50% of our marriages are ending in divorce, and wow, while we're living in open fornication, not marrying the person that we're with, living like we're married, but we're not married. It's crazy. And it's like, really? That means we're religious. That means we're religious and we're picking different sins to be able to criticize while we ourselves are whitewashed tombs. First, you see, this is the response. What would Jesus do? And if you haven't yet, what VFNTV and watch is America under God's judgment. There's three phases of judgment. And you have the first two phases trying to dog out the third phase. And listen, the third phase wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the first two phases that we failed. We didn't repent. You need to hear it. Listen, God's not a liar. He's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind. Your sin is not any less sin than the next man next to you. It's all sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. It's not the sin. It's the, what are you going to do with the sin that you have? God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. First, what do we have to do? First, we have to do what Jesus said. Listen, who are you to judge anybody? Who are you to judge anybody? He says, well, how are we going to deal with this? You deal with it by dealing with a pole in your own eye. You can't help them with a speck. When compared to what's really going on in the church today, this is nothing but a speck. Lifting allowing gays to serve openly in the military is a speck compared to the pole that's in the church's eye today. We need to apologize to the people that we've been hitting upside the head with our pole while we're living in open adultery. We're addicted to internet pornography. Our wives are over our husband. Our children are over our family. We don't even read God's commands. We tell people to put the Ten Commandments up. We don't even know them, and we don't even follow them. We are like the Pharisee. We're like the Sadducee. You see? He said, listen. First, you have to deal with your pole in your own life. We're going to have to deal with our own adultery. We're going to have to deal with our own fornication. We're going to have to confess our sins. We're going to say, listen, I shouldn't have killed my baby. I shouldn't have committed this sexual sin. I shouldn't have committed fornication. I will not anymore visit or see internet pornography anymore, and I will publicly hold myself accountable. This is my beckoning point. I will not bow down to the devils of Satan again.
We'll carry our things that once held us, and we will put them in piles and burn them so the whole world, who we criticized and beat over the head with our poles, Asherah poles, Baal poles. I really believe those poles are like, those are the poles, sin poles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and then, after you deal with your own pole, after we deal with our own pole, it's just weird. It's, to me, it's like, you don't see that? You don't see? This is not going to be good. First of all, you know, if you are the judge, I could understand, you know, you could be
wrong
and deviant and do unjust judgment. But understand, God's not unjust.
That's right.
He's not unjust. And so he's going to throw that gavel down, and you want to be on the right side of it, which is the side of the cross. Mm. And all have sinned and all fallen short of the glory. And you see all the sexual sin. Sin is sin. The question is how can we think we can deal with someone else's sexual sin, especially someone who does not even know God or has turned away from God? How are we to tell them how to live their life? Listen, we are a message to a man and a woman in hopes that they would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord, and to tell them their destiny if they don't and their destiny if they do. But at that point, the decision is theirs. Jesus said, listen, Sodom and Gomorrah would have repented a long time ago if the miracles that were done in Chorazin would have been done in you. It'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah than you. Listen, it's not for us. Jesus just went on. Jesus just went on. When we ourselves are not even considering our own sin, our own sexual sin, listen, if you sinned and you repented, you've dealt with it. You're not living your life that way anymore. That's cool. That's the only thing that we can do. Don't be the one who gets on the soapbox while you're addicted to internet pornography and begin to take a poll. You're a Asherah poll, sir. You're a Asherah poll, ma'am. Mm. And begin to beat the Boy Scouts over the head and start saying, you know, what are you doing allowing gays to openly serve in the Boy Scouts? And then begin to think about this. When you commit fornication, which is you're not married and you commit sexual sin, you know what you say? You say, I've sinned. When you commit adultery, you don't say, hey, I'm an adulterer. You go, I sinned. Right. But when your brother and sister commits homosexuality or lesbianism, you say, he or she's a homosexual. He or she's a lesbian. No, sir. No, ma'am. They sinned just like you. Mm-hmm. And just like God can forgive you and loves you and has a plan for your life, he can forgive them. He can forgive them. We're not called to change the world. We're called to go out into the world as sheep among wolves, being as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves, so that we can tell men and women that God loves them, that even like the woman caught in adultery when everybody was around her, all of God's people was around her. You notice they didn't get the man, they got the woman. And she's dripping with her sexual sin. She's in the midst of sin. She's caught with her computer, sir. He's caught with the secretary. It's caught in the sexual relationship, the sexual sin. And so this is God looking at sexual sin. And she's thrown down there. Sir, imagine this. He's thrown down there. His computers and his hard drives and his history and all these different things are thrown down there. His partners and her partners and all those things that have happened. It's thrown out there before God. All the sexual sins out there. And they said, Jesus, what are you going to do about this? And that's what's happening today. You have all these people with rocks and stones, and they're standing around, and God's going, oh, no, no, no. You don't understand. You really? Just because? Oh, my goodness. And so then he stops, and he looks at them, and he says, okay, then. He didn't say that she wasn't in sin. Mm-hmm. He didn't say what she did wasn't sin. But he didn't talk to her. He talked to everybody else. And that's what I'm saying. I'm talking to the church. I'm talking to the people who say they're God's people. He that's without sin, cast the first stone. Cast the first stone. And so the older ones that were standing there with Jesus and this lady in the sexual sin quickly dropped their stones. You see, the longer you've been around, those words shiver up your spine and say, that's so true. What have I done? Who am I to be speaking like that about anybody? It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. Yes. And then the younger ones eventually dropped their stones. And then all of the religious Americans walked away from the Boy Scouts and the military. And then Jesus looks at that soldier, and Jesus looks at that Cub Scout and that Boy Scout and says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. She encountered the love, the mercy, the kindness, the justice. Everything was crashing together. It was all coming together. They were right when the law said she should die. They were right in bringing her to the judgment seat of Christ. But they misunderstood the mercies of God and the forgiveness of God. When they brought her to what they thought was going to be her end, they brought her to her beginning and her destiny. She encountered the love of God. She saw the goodness of God. They saw the goodness of God. And after that, he said, now repent. He said, now, leave your life of sin. It's all backwards. Nope, we can't leave sin without God. It's because he died so that we could actually empower us to leave sin. Listen, we're facing in the bandwagon, the organization, the nonprofit organization after nonprofit organization is rising up and jumping up like these religious folks with their rocks in their hands. And it's like, dude, 50% of us are ending in divorce. And the reason why that number is not going up is because we're not even getting married. We're living in fornication right now. 65% of the abortions, that's us. 50% of the addicted to pornography on the internet, that's us. That's us. The movies we watch. The movies. He said, listen, if you're watching people have sex in the movies, you're having sex in your heart with those very same images. If you don't turn your head, you've experienced it. We're looking at the third phase of a nation being turned over, and we're judging it when the third phase is here because we personally have failed the first two phases. Listen, go listen to Is America Under God's Judgment? You want to be on the right side of history. God loves that soldier. God loves that Boy Scout or that Girl Scout. And listen, we need to be able to be the deliverer of God's love. The messenger, yes, you're caught there, but you got to write in the sand. What he did, he wrote in the sand while these guys pondered over, should we kill her? They were sitting there with their poles. It just happened to be rocks, but those are poles. And he said, listen, you got to first deal with your own pole to help her, because if you deal with your own pole, when you deal with your own sin, you're thinking, my goodness, I can help her out here. I can relate to her. I mean, think about the horrificness of that. Mm-hmm. The shame and the exposure. And probably the bitterness, like, where's the man that did this
exactly
to me?
Exactly.
I mean, all these different things. And they're trying to hit her with the poles. It just happened to be rocks, but it was poles. It was their own sin. It was their own sin. And the church, listen, I'm talking to not buildings. I'm talking to you, people who profess to be Christians, who said, you know, you said that Jesus is your Lord. The only way we can help them with their specks, and this is nothing but a speck compared to our Shearer poles and our Baal poles, and the poles that are in our eyes. We first have to deal with our own sin at the cross. And when we've received the mercy and see the justice of God served on his own son, we will be humble in that situation, and we will empathize with her. We'll empathize with him. We'll empathize with that Boy Scout. We'll empathize with that soldier, and we'll quit trying to tell people what to do, and we'll begin to live the love of God and love them and give an opportunity for them to love God and begin to say, you know what? I'm going to leave my life of sin. We'll be right back. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same. You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know, that when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today, go to vfntv.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month. That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting five people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to vfntv.com and click on giving. vfntv.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in this first hour is Pat and John. We were just talking about, you know, we know about the news of the Boy Scouts. We know about the news of the military. You got to hear, if you didn't hear the last segment on VFN Radio, you got to go to the highlights. I don't know what it's going to be named, or you can just go back and listen to the program again. But we need to know what to do with the news we know. We don't want to be trying to tell everybody what to do with their specs when we have this obvious poll in our eye. And the world knows about the poll, and that's why they're not going to respond with their specs. And I always say that, and maybe this will be the title of it, maybe, is the church is making a spectacle. The church is making a spectacle of themselves if we do that. Mm. If we stand up and start talking about people's specs, why our polls are imagine the poll being a statistical measurement of our sin on a poll graph or a Shearer poll or a Bell poll. And that was the word that came out. I really believe that that's a word. Mm-hmm. The poll that's in it, it's not some telephone poll or some fence poll. It is that's what represents, the poll represents sexual sin. Mm-hmm. Mm. It represents, that's what Baal was. Baal idol was a poll,
right?
A Shearer, a poll. And they lift their gods up on a poll. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, we even heard one time, I see you lifted up on a pole and people gathering around you.
Right? Oh, yeah. Right.
Run for your lives. Run for your lives. Oh, my goodness. And so we know what's happening. Anyway, so you need to hear it because, you know, God is love, but we need to respond at, you know, not what we would think, not what we feel. We need to respond how the Lord will respond. And God has no problem embarrassing us and pulling the rug out from under us to let people know that he loves them, to know that we all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God, and we need him. We totally, totally need him. So listen, I want to talk about, I don't know if we have enough time, but hopefully we do. Imagine if Jesus had a Facebook.
Hmm.
You know, and I was not, you know, Mark Taylor is the one that turned me on to social media. Yeah, I didn't even have anything to do. It was so amazing. Oh, really? Yeah, you first, okay, that's too much time to talk about that. But I was just like, it was amazing. It's like, oh, my friends. It's like the first time I got on iTunes.
oh, that song from 1812. I had, oh, the next song. I'm like, Donna's shopping in Alabama or something, and I'm over in Florida going, it's another song. Oh, my goodness. The next thing you know, I'm like $70, $80 with the songs I'm downloading. This is great. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And he's like, stop. You know, just anyway. But imagine if Jesus had a Facebook. When you have a Facebook, for those that have one or don't have one, you just, you know, go and you open it up and you put in your information. And here's Jesus. Jesus, you know, was buried into the population. He wasn't in their eyes any different than anybody else, but he was. They didn't even know him until God pointed him out. I mean, he always was the Son of God, but they didn't know him until all of a sudden the Lord said, this is the one. And so imagine all of a sudden, you know, Jesus is, he's had a Facebook since he was born. Yeah, I'm in a manger. You know, a few years later, I just got some gold. I mean, somebody delivered some gold and some frankincense and some myrrh, snapping shots, you know. And no, I found out my parents weren't poor. There was just no room in the inn. You know, things that kids do. Are you posting? are you posting that on Facebook? It's okay. We do all that kind of stuff. Post your own stuff. Don't post my stuff. My goodness gracious. And so all of a sudden, you know, hey, I'm building with Dad today. We're building some stuff and taking some shots of, you know, something they built. And he was a carpenter's son. And here's my brothers. They still don't believe I'm the Son of God. My mom was looking at me with that weird eye today. I don't know what it is, but she's been pondering things in her heart. Help me out. Pray for me at the temple. Right? Like, I'm sneaking out today. I'm going to go to the temple and hang out with the teachers of the law and the lawyers and stuff. He walks away going, I thought these guys knew something. He's like, I confounded them, you know. Think about it. This is his encounter. But nobody's friending him. No, as a matter of fact, he's even forgot about his Facebook. He's forgot about his Facebook. He's getting a lot of suggestions. Did you ever consider Lucifer? You know, I'm thinking about it. You know, it's like, no, I don't. Lucifer is my friend. If you do, that was on my big question. If you do deny them, do they know? Anyway, so then all of a sudden, God just says, now, bam. Here he is by the Jordan. John the Baptist is looking at him and he begins to point him out. He says, listen, you know, behold the Lamb of God. And everybody starts going, does he have a Facebook? It's amazing. First thing, do you have a Facebook? They want to connect, right? And all of a sudden he gets baptized. The Holy Spirit comes down. This Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. People are like, dude, we need to friend him. We need to friend him. Anyway, so then he leaves immediately and talks to nobody and he goes in the wilderness. Everybody goes, well, I don't know what that was, but we're not going to go in the wilderness with him. And next thing you know, he's having all kinds of evilness trying to friend him because Satan is tempting him and all these different things. And then he comes out. He comes out, and the friend that he has at this point is his father. Mm. His father is his friend. And he begins to walk out of the wilderness into Galilee and begin to talk and heal all the sick and heal those are diseased and cast out all the devils. And all of a sudden, you know, this one friended him and that one friended him and this one's telling him and that one heard they healed. And all of a sudden everybody's bringing their sick people and his Facebook's going click, 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 up, 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 boom, 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 boom. Next thing they're doing a story like they did on the quarterback's girlfriend in Alabama when they said she had like, you know, 2,000 followers, but the next day she had 100,000 followers and everybody's talking about it. That's how people figure this crazy. That's what we're talking about. And so all of a sudden, oh, Jesus might be the real deal because he's got a lot of followers. Mm. I mean, I got to consider this Jesus. But then the Pharisees, who didn't friend him on Facebook, were always looking to see how things were going. And they were like, you know, creating fake profiles. Saying, could I have some bread? And so he... all these friends are coming and just coming and coming. And then he sat there and he said, listen, begin to post things. Listen, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for they'll inherit the kingdom of God. Boom, it posts out on the Sermon on the Mount. Everybody's like, oh, you're like. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. Like, but not that many likes. And it just goes on and on and on. I mean, people are just, just think about it. If he had a Facebook, what would it look like? People were just liking him. You know, right before that, he had 12, his first 12 outside of his father that joined his Facebook was his 12 disciples. They liked him. And one of those was only joining him for some other ulterior motive. It was Judas. Remember, he had another idea. And Thomas was just checking things out. He had to see for himself.
Right.
And but all of a sudden, you know, here it is, this huge, it just finally happened, and thousands of likes are there, and they're all listening and to the post and all this kind of stuff. And then Jesus posts a post like this. Talks about, I think, in John chapter 6. This is his post. And the disciples don't even know it. They don't even know what's about to happen. He says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. Unlike. Every single one of them. Every single one of them disconnected from publicly acknowledging him as a friend. All he had left was the 12 friends that he had when he first came out with his father, came out of the wilderness. And then he looks at them, he says, listen, are you going to unfriend me publicly too? Are you going to deny me? Or what are you going to do? And Peter said, where else can we go? You have the keys to eternal life. So they began again. They began again telling and sharing and healing and telling of the love of God and that he'll forgive their sins. And all of a sudden they begin to like again. They begin to like again. They're coming. The crowds are coming. He's moved with compassion because they're harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherd, like a sheep without a shepherd. And he's telling them, they're healing, they're liking. And all of a sudden, join us in the extra hour and I'll tell you what happens next. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.